南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米，苏卡多巴嘎瓦塔达摩达曼纳玛萨米，苏帕提帕诺巴嘎瓦多萨瓦克桑哥桑杭纳玛米。Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Right? We shall commence the Vandana Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa。Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa。 Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa。 Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang GacchamiSanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajapamadatanaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dithena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonudangGanda sambara yutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujae puja niyang tang Puja bacana mutemang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kesuma santatinPujayami Monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena chohotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Padang Pajemi Damang Pajemi Sanghang Pajemi. Okay, you all can be seated. We will off the light and you can have half an hour of meditation. Huh? Just relax body and mind, yeah? Maintain some form of silence within awareness. You already train your mind. It's very easy to maintain the silence, to develop the meditative mind of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. If you have not trained, if you have not stabilized it, then you may develop some form of skillful means to train it. You can start off with mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Then after that, stabilize this silent mind, or the mind that is already peaceful with inner peace and inner awareness. You have to anchor it to something. You can anchor it to any part within your body, your kaya. And the most common one is the one recommended by the Buddha. You can anchor it to your breathing. You just relax body and mind, silent everything, then just breathe in, breathe out mindfully. So as the breathing move, your mindfulness just follow. That's why you just maintain sati or mindfulness awareness in front of your nostril. Just silent everything and develop the awareness to be aware of the movement of the in and out breath. Then like the Buddha advised, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So this ability to be aware of the in and out breath is a very important training. The breath is always in the moment. So when you are able to stay with the breathing, means the breathing and the awareness move as one without thought. And that is sati. Sati is awareness before the arising of thought or knowing. So when you are just aware without any thought, there is sati. So just patiently train the mind in this particular manner. Every time the mind wanders off, just bring it back to the breathing. Then train it. Over a short period, you will be able to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. As the mindfulness of the in and out breath, which is anapanasati, stabilize, your mind will become very calm, very peaceful, very quiet. Then as this develops, you continue to allow it to develop further. The key point is to relax into every mind state that arises. Relaxation is very important so that this mindfulness will develop into a kind of peacefulness that is not too strong in its absorption or concentration. Initially, if the absorption or the continuity of mindfulness become very strong, you can experience it for a while, it's okay. You can experience the tranquility, the peacefulness of mind, the calmness of mind, born of the mind that is trained. The mind that is trained, which is in sati without thought, is very calm, very peaceful. Then you can experience what they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture that arises when the mind becomes peaceful. When it is aware without thought, it will experience piti. Then as you continue to relax, it will become more and more refined. Then later on, you can even experience the long breath, very calm, very peaceful, long breathing. Then as you continue to relax deep into it, it will transform from piti to sukha. Sukha is a blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very, very blissful. It is very, very blissful in the sense that the mind has become very calm, very quiet, until it transforms itself into sukha. And as you continue to relax into it, it will again transform further until you will experience what they call pausati. Pausati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. During that time, your object of meditation, everything become very quiet, very still, like very subtle, like no more movement. Yeah. When you reach that state, you just relax, silent everything, and don't do anything. Just stay at the breathing until your mind enters the deep. Then when it enters the deep, whatever movement, the subtle breathing and all those other movements, your mind can detect them. Then the breathing like become clear to you again. When you can do that, your mind is already in the deep, and that is the meditative mind. And that mind, you can locate it anywhere within your body. It will be very, very sensitive. It can understand many, many things. Then later on, if you are skillful, you can allow the anapanasati to drop to your mind base or your heart area. Then wherever you can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat, you just stay there. Stay there, relax and just silent and aware. Then let the mindfulness detect whatever vibration or heartbeat. Then you allow it to completely silent, quiet, until little or no movement, until the life force also become like very still, no more life force, no more breathing, nothing. That is the silent mind, the true mind. When you are able to do that, you already progress very well. Then with that mind, it can understand many things. You just stay with the silence. Then whatever that arise within the six sense door, upon contact, whatever that arise, you will understand. Then you will start to understand all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about within his teaching. You will experience the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment. Initially, when you train, you will also experience the five mental hindrance. Then later on, you can also see how you function as a human being, how your mind upon contact, what happened. You will start to understand the dependent origination, the 12 link, Paticchasamuppada, as taught by the Buddha very clearly. And all this will lead to wisdom, understanding. And as you continue to silent, you will develop a lot of wisdom born of satipatthana practice, the mindfulness of the four foundation of mindfulness, starting with your kaya, which can be your breathing or any vibration within your physical form. Then later on, as you come out of the meditation, you can even anchor your mindfulness to the four postures that you arise throughout the day. Then later on, you move on to daily mindfulness to cover all the connecting movement between the four postures. That's how the meditation is to be developed. Then this sati, when it becomes very stable, you can experience two types of mindfulness. The first type is the mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful and so still, silent, spacious awareness without a center. Then whatever that arises upon contact of mind with the sense basis, the silent mind will understand. It can detect them. Then it can understand what is going on within the point of contact. So they call it at the moment of sense experience, when the mind make contact with the particular sense basis, then together with the sense data that come in, you will experience the resultant, which is the arising of the consciousness and how you input the content, then how you are able to be aware of the content of consciousness. the seven universal and all those related content of consciousness. All this, the cultivator with a silent mind will understand. Then later on, as you come out of the meditation, you will have this ability to be aware of whatever phenomena that come to mind. Every moment of seeing is with sati. Every moment of hearing is with sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. The silent mind, which is in sati, will have the ability to be mindful of all this. And we call this the specific phenomenal awareness, where mindfulness can be maintained throughout the day, most of the time, during your conscious moment. Okay, I'll allow you to develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 or 15 minutes. What else is still under meditation? You can continue for yourself and now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. Of the chanting book. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we shall chant the invitation in Pali. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Jacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gemma. Dang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue our Dhamma sharing. We are on page 15 of the book, The Buddha and His Teaching. On this occasion, the Bodhisattva approached one Udaka Ramaputta and expressed his desire to lead the holy life in his dispensation. He was readily admitted as a pupil. Before long, the intelligent ascetic Gautama mastered his doctrine and attained the final stage of mental concentration, the realm of neither perception or non-perception. So this is the formless realm, the highest, the eighth jhana, revealed by his teacher. This was the highest stage in worldly concentration, when consciousness becomes so subtle and so refined that it cannot be said that a consciousness either exists or not. Ancient Indian sages could not proceed further in spiritual development beyond this stage. The noble teacher was delighted to hear of the success of his illustrious royal pupil. Unlike his former teacher, the present honored him by inviting him to take full charge of all the disciples as their teacher. He said, "Happy friends are we, yea, extremely happy, in that we see such a venerable fellow ascetic as you. The doctrine which Rama knew, you know, the doctrine which you know, Rama knew. As was Rama, so are you. As was you, so was Rama. Come, friend, henceforth, you shall lead this company of ascetic." Still, the Bodhisattva felt that his quest for the highest truth was not achieved. He had gained complete mastery of his mind, but his ultimate goal was far ahead. He was seeking for the highest, the realization of Nibbana, the complete cessation of suffering, the total eradication of all form of craving. Dissatisfied with his teaching, he departed hence, content therewith no longer. He realized that his spiritual aspirations were far higher than those under whom he chose to learn. He realized that there was none capable enough to teach him what he yearned for, the highest truth. He also realized that the highest truth is to be found within oneself and cease to seek external support or aid. So that was the history of how he learned under the two teachers, Udaka and what is the other teacher's name? Alara, yes. Alara and Udaka. So this is the brief history. According to the commentary, these are all the Hindu yogi of the time when the Buddha was born. So these are very popular type of meditation in India. They call it jhana, concentration meditation. And all this thought-based meditation, developing concentration, they can only refine their mind to the highest formless realm, which they call it the eighth jhana, because there are four levels of form jhana. The first jhana, second, third, and fourth, they are called form jhana, because these are the jhana after you develop them, you become very good in them. After the passing away of this form and mind, they will take birth in their respective form realm. they are under the 31 plane of existence, as explained by Sakyamuni Buddha later on, after his enlightenment. There are 16 stages of form jhana. That's why they call it the 16 Brahmarine. This Brahmarine, they have what they call form jhanas. Then after that, you will reach the Arupa jhana. They call it the formless. So there are four more rhyme up there after you develop the formless jhana. These four formless rhyme, their lifespan for those who take birth up there are very, very long. Even the Brahma rhyme already quite long, but the formless rhyme is a lot longer. So the Buddha realized this is not what he is seeking. And as I explained earlier on, what he seek is the answer to old age, sickness and death. Not so much of how powerful the mind is, how concentrated the mind is, how all the fantastic experience that come with all this mind development. So as opposed to what their teacher, the two teachers that taught him, believe that after they die, they will take birth in those formless jhana rhyme. Means the topmost two rhyme of the 31 plane of existence, where they exist very long. And to them, that is their eternal salvation. They believe that is the highest humankind can achieve. But Siddhartha Gautama, because of his past cultivation, he knew there is another form of enlightenment that can lead to the realization of very profound truth that can answer his question regarding old age, sickness and death, even this form of mind, this life that it takes birth into. He can develop the clear understanding to liberate the mind, to be free completely from the form and the mind, so that he will not be afflicted by it or deluded by it. And that is the realization that he finally realized after he strive on to cultivate it on his own for a few more years. Accumulating into the faithful night where underneath the Bodhi tree, after he received the milk rice from Sujata, he came to his supreme enlightenment. Then he connect back and realize everything. Then he inherit completely his perfection. We call it the Sammuggayakaya, the spiritual perfection or spiritual body of a Sammasambuddha. Then when that came back to him, combined with the Nimanakaya, which is a functional body, he became the Dhammakaya, means the Sammasambuddha who spoke the Dhamma or proclaimed the Dhamma. So that was how he became a fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha. Then the next page you look at it is the organization chart, or what they call the family history chart. How the father side, Sakyamuni, the parents were this, what they call Sakya families. Then they have, the top one is Jayasena, then Sihahanu, and Yosodhara. Then from there, they marry this Kachana and Anjana, then give birth to Suddhodana. Suddhodana, I believe, this is the one that became the Buddha's became the Buddha's father, the king. then there were other brothers of him. That's why the rest, they marry and become cousin of the Buddha. So Sakyamuni Buddha is Suddhodana and the Pajapati Gotami. Then they got first Maya, she gave birth to Siddhartha Gautama. Then Siddhartha married Yasodhara, then they gave birth to Rahula. Then Nanda was the son of Pajapati Gotami. Pajapati Gotami, it seems, is the sister of the mother of Siddhartha. They call it the first Maya one. Then the other one is Sundari. It's a lady. Sundari and is a Tiri. Then over the other side, the uncle, that's why you see Anuruddha, Mahanama, Ananda, Supabuddha, Devadatta, and again there's a Tiri, Yasodhara. They are all cousin brothers and cousin sisters. Then you turn to the next page. This is the family tree for the mother side. So the mother side, again the same. You can see they are also map out. So it was from Anjana and Yasodhara. Oh, they marry their own cousins. Their own cousin. Okay. So at least we have finished the first part. Then now we go to chapter 2. Okay. His struggle for enlightenment. This one is quite interesting, this chapter. It describes how he actually went through all the various types of cultivation. Okay, the first part is the Dhammapada verse. Easy to do are things that are bad and not beneficial to self, but very, very hard to do indeed is that which is beneficial and good. What do you think of this Dhammapada verse? Is it true? Is it true? Come. You have to respond, otherwise it's one side, one way traffic. What do you think of this Dhammapada verse? Do you support this particular sentence? Or do you have anything to comment? Is it true what is being spoken? Easy to do are things that are bad and not beneficial to self. But very, very hard to do indeed is that which is beneficial and good. Anybody want to try to answer? Just express your opinion, otherwise you wouldn't learn. What do you think? Pass the mic over. Whoever raised a hand, you can pass to Queenie. This is a book where you have to express yourself, like I say. You learn to develop your ability to speak out, express yourself. Then you can learn much faster.
I think this is very true.
Very true. Yeah. You got your reason, Queenie?
As human beings, we always try to be, because of greed and delusion, we will try to avoid doing things that are not beneficial to us.
Yes,
and
very
we are
good.
More
very
selfish.
Good. Very good.
We
yes.
tend to be selfish.
Very, very good. Very good. Thank you so much for your sharing. Anybody else want to share or explain based on your understanding? What Queenie has spoken on is very good. Of the thing. Of already, thank you. Because, like she said, due to human delusion, there is this evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, it is very easy to go the evil way, because of selfishness. That's why you will do things which are selfish. You will do things that are emotional, or what they call with a lot of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, because the self-delusion is very powerful. Then out of fear, out of insecurity, you can actually do a lot of evil things. That's why the Dhammapada verse is very true. Easy to do are things that are bad and not beneficial to others, and to self, because of selfishness. Then very, very hard, you use the word, very hard to do indeed is that which is beneficial and good. Beneficial means be generous, be kind, and do things that can be of benefit to others, not to yourself. So you have this selfishness and greed, very unlikely you can do it. If you were to check back, even our Chinese culture, we have this saying, to learn all the negative things is very easy. In Cantonese, what they call it already? What is the saying already in Cantonese? Like learn to be naughty very fast. That one is Mandarin. But the Cantonese got one version, I remember. What already? I forgot already. Don't know what, Sin Hok Wai, something like that. It's very difficult to learn to be good, but very easy to learn to be naughty. You look at the kid, the boy and the girl, when they are small. Initially, they are very naive. They are very innocent and all those things. But later on, when they learn to have things, then they become very, very selfish, very naughty. Last time I remember, when young, my two kids, you give whatever thing to them, then you ask them to give back to you, they will just give back to you. But later on, as they grew up, as they understand all this, sometimes nice to eat and all those things, you ask for it from them, they hesitate already. Then after that, they don't want to give you already. They want to keep and eat themselves already. But my son was very good. He continued to give. You want, he just give it to you. He never hesitate on. So you can see. But a lot of children, I noticed, especially my brother's side, when they are young, you can see they are actually very, very selfish. You go and ask them for the thing. Can give it to uncle or what? They will not look at you at all. They just take and they just run inside. Or they keep it to themselves. They don't want to give it to you. So this is what the evil roots are capable of. So in cultivation, what we need to do is we need to be aware of this evil root. As long as the evil root of self-delusion is there, it will create the atta, the personality. And this atta and personality, you have to be really mindful and you have to investigate all this. How it delude you and make you selfish, make you evil, make you greedy. And it can also cause fear in you, insecurity in you, unhappiness in you. That's why you can become emotional, sometimes angry, full of hatred, envy, jealousy. And all these are evil, root of all evil. That's why the Buddha said they will make you evil. When you have these evil roots of greed, hatred, selfishness, anger, emotional negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, restlessness of mind, unhappy state of mind, they are evil state. with evil roots, and you will become evil. Then whatever you do, when you act out of this evil root, it will bring about coming negativity, downfall. It will bring forth the karmic consequence. Then the karmic friction, when it arises, living being will be afflicted. Whatever you do to people, come back to you. You reap what you sow. That's why you must plant the seed of wholesomeness. Plant the seed of goodness, virtue. You want people to be kind to you, good to you. You have to have all this virtue in you. You have to be kind to people, good to people. Whatever you do to the world, it will come back to you as karmic friction. So when you harm people, kill people, deceive, cheat, and do all those things that hurt and harm and cause suffering and misery to fellow living beings, when the karmic friction comes back, you will be harmed, you will be hurt, you will be killed in the same way you did to other living beings. So this is the law of karma. So his struggle for enlightenment. Now we continue. Page chapter 2, page 19. How he struggle. Meeting with disappointment, but not discouraged, the ascetic Gautama, seeking for the incomparable peace, the highest truth, wander through the district of Magadha and arrive in due course at Uruvela, the market town of Sanani. There he spied a lovely spot of ground, a charming forest group, a flowing river with pleasant sandy falls, and hard by was a village where he could obtain his food. Then he thought thus, lovely indeed, O venerable one, is this spot of ground, charming is the forest grove, pleasant is the flowing river with sandy fall, and hard by is a village where I could obtain food. Suitable indeed is this place for spiritual exertion, for those noble scions who desires to strive. The place was congenial for his meditation. The atmosphere was peaceful. The surrounding was pleasant. The scenery was charming. Alone, he resolved to settle down there to achieve his desired objective. Hearing of his renunciation, Kandanya, the youngest Brahmin who predicted his future, and the four sons of the other sages of Badiya, Vipa, Mahanama, and Asaji also renounced the world and joined his company. In the ancient day in India, great importance was attached to rites, ceremony. What is this word's meaning? Penance. Anybody know the meaning? Penance? Yinchan? Do you know this meaning? What is the meaning? Maybe Jin Hao check Google faster. Or as a way of practice. Okay. Means austere type of practices. Is it? Austere type of practices. And sacrifice, must be, It was then a popular belief that no deliverance could be gained unless one led a life of strict asceticism. Yes. Asceticism is like very austere type of practice. Accordingly, for 6 long years, the ascetic Gautama made a superhuman struggle, practicing all form of severe austerity. Means eat very little, then practice very long, sometimes not enough sleep, not enough rest, means very austere. It should include self-mortification, mortify that physical body. His delicate body was reduced to almost a skeleton, The more he tormented his body, the further his goal receded from him. How strenuously he struggled, the various methods he employed, and how he eventually succeeded are geographically described in his own words in various sutta. Mahasachaka Sutta describes his preliminary effort thus. This one is what the Bodhisattva at that time mentioned. Then the following thought occurred to me, he said, how if I were to clench my teeth, press my tongue against the palate, and with moral thought, hold down, subdue, and destroy my immoral thought. See, this was what he tried, but he came to the understanding that it doesn't work, because this is suppression, control, thought-based. So I clenched my teeth, pressed my tongue against my palate, and strove to hold down, subdue, destroy my immoral thought, or wrong thought, with moral thought. As I struggled thus, perspiration streamed forth from my armpit, like out to a strong man who might seize a weaker man by head or shoulder and hold him down, force him down, and bring into subjection. Even so still, I struggle. Strenuous and indomitable was my energy. My mindfulness was established and unperturbed. My body was, however, fatigued and was not calm as a result of that pain, that painful endeavor, being overpowered by exertion. Even though such painful sensation arose in me, they did not at all affect my mind. Then I thought thus, how if I were to cultivate the non-breathing ecstasy? Accordingly, I checked inhalation and exhalation from my mouth and nostril. As I checked inhalation and exhalation from mouth and nostril, the air issuing from my ears created an exceedingly loud noise, just as a blacksmith's bellows being blown make an exceedingly great noise. Even so was the noise created by the air issuing from his ear when I stopped breathing. So he tried all sorts of meditation. Nevertheless, my energy was strenuous and indomitable. Established and unperturbed was my mindfulness, yet my body was fatigued and was not calm as a result of that painful endeavor, being overpowered by exertion. Even though such painful sensation arose in me, they did not at all affect my mind. That was what he experienced. Then he tried another one. Then I thought to myself, how if I were to cultivate that non-breathing exercise? Accordingly, I checked inhalation and exhalation from mouth, nostril, and ears. And as I stopped breathing from mouth, nostril, and ear, the imprisoned air beat upon my skull with great violence, just as if a strong man were to bore one's skull with a sharp drill. Even so did the air beat my skull with great violence as I stopped breathing. Even though such painful sensation arose in me, they did not at all affect my mind. Then I thought to myself, how if I were to cultivate that non-breathing ecstasy again? Accordingly, I checked inhalation and exhalation from mouth, nostril, and ears. And as I stopped breathing, thus terrible pain arose in my head, as would be the pain if a strong man were to bind one's head tightly with a hard leather thong. Even so were the terrible pain that arose in my head. Nevertheless, again, repeated, my energy was strenuous. Such painful sensation did not affect my mind. Thus I thought to myself, How if I were to cultivate that non-breathing ecstasy again? Accordingly, I stop breathing with mouth, nose, and ear. As I check breathing, thus plentiful air pierces my belly. Just as if a skillful butcher or a butcher's apprentice were to rip up the belly with a sharp butcher's knife, even so painful air pierces my belly. So again, he gave up. Again, I thought to myself, how if I were to cultivate that non-breathing ecstasy again? Accordingly, I checked inhale and exhalation from mouth, nostril, and ear. As I suppressed my breathing, thus a tremendous burning pervaded my body, just as if two strong men were each to seize a weaker man by the arm and scorch and thoroughly burn him in a pit of glowing charcoal. Even so did a severe burning pervade my body. Nevertheless, my energy was strenuous. Such painful sensation did not affect my mind. Thereupon, the deity who saw me thus said, the ascetic Gotama is dead. Some remark, the ascetic Gotama is dead. Oh, it's not dead yet, but it's dying. While some others say, the ascetic Gotama is neither dead nor is dying, but an arahant is the ascetic Gotama. Such is the way in which an arahant abides. Yeah. So all these were the wrong way. Then we go to the next passage. Change of method. Then he tried not eating. At first he tried non-breathing, then non-eating. Again he get into big trouble. Then I thought to myself, how if I were to practice complete abstinence from food? Then dentists approach me and say, do not, good sir, practice total abstinence from food. If you do practice it, it will pour celestial essence, or we will pour celestial essence through your body's pores. With that, you will be sustained. And I thought, if I claim to be practicing starvation, and if this dainties pour celestial essence through my body's pores, and I am sustained thereby, it will be a fraud on my part. So I refused them, saying there is no need. Then the following thought occurred to me, how if I take food little by little, a small quantity of the juice of the green grams or venge, or like, how to pronounce this, and lentil, or pea. As I took such small quantity of solid and liquid food, my body became extremely emaciated. Just as other joints of knot grasses or vessels, even so were the major and minor part of my body, owing to lack of food. Just as is the camel's hoof, even so were my hips for want of food. Just as is a string of beads, even so did my backbone stand out and bend in for lack of food. Just as the rafter of a depleted hall fall this way and that, even so appear my ribs to lack of sustenance. Just as in the deep well may be seen stars sunken deep in the water, even so did my eyeballs appear deep sunk in their socket, being devoid of food. Just as a bitter pumpkin, when cut while raw, were by wind and sun get shriveled and withered, even so did my skin and my head get shriveled and withered due to lack of sustenance. And I, intending to touch my belly skin, would instead seize my backbone. When I intended to touch my backbone, I would seize my belly skin. So was I, that owing to lack of sufficient food, my belly skin clashed with the backbone. and I am going to pass excretional urine, would in that very spot stumble and fall down for want of food, and I stroke my limbs in order to revive my body. Low as I did so, the rotten root of my body's hair fall from my body, owing to lack of sustenance. The people who saw me say the ascetic Gotama is black. Some say the ascetic Gotama is not black but blue. Some others say the ascetic Gotama is neither black or blue, but tani. To such an extent was the pure color of my skin impaired owing to lack of food. When the following thought occurred to me, whatsoever ascetic or Brahmin of the past have experienced acute, painful, sharp and piercing sensation, they must have experienced them to such a high degree as this and not beyond. Whatsoever ascetic and Brahmin of the future will experience acute, painful, sharp and piercing sensation, they too will experience them in such a high degree and not beyond. Yet by all this bitter and difficult austerity, I shall not attain to excellence worthy of supreme knowledge and insight, transcending those of human states. Might there be another path to enlightenment? Yeah, so he was still seeking. So don't breathe cannot, don't take food also cannot. So now the third one, temptation of Mara, the evil one. His prolonged painful austerity proves utterly futile. They only resulted in exhaustion of his vital energy. Though physically a superman, he dedicatedly nurtured body could not possibly stand the great strain. His graceful form completely faded, almost beyond recognition. His golden color skin turned pale, his blood dried up, his sinus and muscles shriveled up, his eyes were sunken and blurred. To all appearances, he was like a living skeleton. He was almost on the verge of death. At this critical stage, while he was still intent on the highest padana, abiding on the bank of the Naranjara River, striving and contemplating in order to attain to the state of perfect security, Namuchi, uttering kind word thus, "You are lean and deformed. Near to you is death. A thousand part of you belong to death. To life there remains but one. Live, O good sir. Life is better. Living, you could perform merits. By leading a life of celibacy and making fire sacrifice, much merit could be acquired. What will you do with this striving? Hard is the path of striving, difficult and not easily accomplished." Mara recited those words, stood in the presence of the Exalted One. To Mara, who spoke thus, the Exalted One replied, "O evil one, kinsman of the heedless, you have come here for your own sake. Even an iota of merits is of no avail. To them who are in need of merits, it behoves you, Mara, to speak thus. Then confidence, sadha, self-control, tapo, perseverance, virya, and wisdom are mine. Me who am thus intent, why do you question about life? Even the stream of river, will this wind dry up? Why should not the blood of mine, who am thus striving, dry up? When blood dries up, the bowel and phlegm also dry up. When my flesh wastes away, more and more does my mind get clarified. Still more do my mindfulness, wisdom and concentration become firm. While I lived thus experiencing the utmost pain, my mind did not does not long for lust. Behold the purity of a being. Sensual desire are your first army. The second is aversion for the holy life. The third is hunger and thirst. The fourth is called craving, tanha. The fifth is love and torpor. The sixth is fear. The seventh is doubt. And the eighth is distraction and obstinacy. The ninth is gain, which is greed. Praise and honor, and that ill-gotten fame. The tenth is extorting of oneself and contempt for others. This, Namuchi, is your army, the opposing host of the evil. That army, the coward, does not overcome, but he who overcomes obtains happiness. This Munja do I display. What boosts life in this world? Better for me is death in the battle than that one should live on vanquished. Some ascetic and Brahmins are not seen plunge in this battle. They know not, nor do they tread the path of the virtuous. Seeing the army of all sides with Mara, array on elephant, I go forward to battle. Mara should not drive me from my position. That army of yours which the world together with gods conquer not, by my wisdom I go to destroy as I would an unbaked bowl with a stone. Controlling my thoughts and with mindfulness well established, I shall wander from country to country, training many a disciple, diligent intent, and practicing my teaching. They disregarding you will go where having gone they grieve not. So that was the part when he encountered the Mara. So he actually, even at that stage when he was about to die, his mind was so resolute, so determined to strive. Then now is the middle path. This is the one that Gautama Buddha, ascetic Gautama, before he became enlightened, he came to understand that the middle way is very important. So this is the one that give rise to the understanding and his breakthrough. That's why after that is the dawn of truth. So we read the middle path. The ascetic Gautama was now fully convinced from personal experience of the utter futility of self-mortification, which though considered indispensable for deliverance by the ascetic philosopher of the day, actually weakens one's intellect and resulted in lassitude of spirit. He abandoned forever this painful extreme, as did he and other extremes of self-indulgence, which tends to retard moral progress. He conceived the idea of adopting the golden mean, which later became one of the salient features of his teaching. This is how the middle path came about. He recalled how when his father was engaged in plowing, he sat in the cool shade of the rose apple tree, absorbed in contemplation of his own breathing, which resulted in the attainment of the first jhana. Thereupon, he thought, well, this is the path to enlightenment. So that is the breakthrough. The first jhana is just upachara samadhi, where the jhanic factor, remember? I think a few weeks back, when we started, I explained to you what are the jhanic factors. The jhanic factors are the factors that give rise to jhana. You can recall that. What are the five jhanic factors? What are they? Come, we write it down. What are they? What are they? Huh? The five jhanic factors. Vitaka, vichara. Very good. The five jhanic factors. That can give rise to jhana experiences. First one is vitaka. That vichara. Third one is what? Piti. Then sukha. Then the last one is ekagata, which is one-pointedness of mind. Ekagata. Vitaka is, what is it? Applied thought. When you apply your thought. So a lot of people, when they do energy field or thought-based meditation, they will apply thought on the object of meditation. They will focus. It can be the 10 kasina or anapanasati or what. They focus. They don't develop mindfulness. They just focus. They apply their thought there. Like they note. Then after that, they sustain their thought. Sustain. So this is sustained thought. Applied thought, then sustained thought. That's why it's called thought-based meditation. There is thought involved. Then after that, they will experience piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness. Spiritual calmness. When there is no thought, when you either concentrate or you become mindful, no thought, then you experience piti. Piti is spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. Then after that, sukha is blissfulness of mind. Blissfulness of mind. So this sukha, you continue to relax into piti, then this mind will become very, very much more refined, very quiet, very still. Then you will experience a very blissful state. This blissful state initially is very, very overpowering. You can get attached to it because it's really very blissful. Really, really blissful. Then after that, they will accumulate into one-pointedness, ekagata. One-pointedness of mind. So the first jhana is when all these five are there. You understand? That's why there is still thought. Understand? Applied thought. Sustained thought. But as you develop the further jhana, the next second jhana, once you hit second jhana, the first two jhanic factor will cease to be. These two will be gone. That's how they can actually focus on piti. They will experience very strong piti. Then after that, they relinquish even piti. Then they go to third jhana. Then at the fourth jhana, they stay at ekagata, one-pointedness. That's the reason why when they are at the fourth jhana, their mind is like in equanimity. And they used to say that this is the fourth jhana that you must aim at, to have a mind that is equal poise in equanimity. That is not true. The mind that is one-pointedness cannot move, cannot think. That's why you think you are in equanimity. But that is a conditioned state. Piti sukha gone. But the mind is very strong in energy field. Everything focused at one point. That's why they can develop all the jhanic factor. All the jhana energy. And this one can push up. And this energy field is very strong, very strong. And they can use it for psychic and other things. So the Buddha remember when he was in the first jhana, when all these five jhanic factors are still there, he has not gone into apana samadhi. His mind can still have thought and movement. But there is this calmness within. Yeah. So this piti, sukha, and ekagata, they are not strong. They are not strong. But he experienced them all. Ah, yeah, Yun Chan. Yeah. Use the mic, sorry. Use the mic. So that I can hear you. Yeah, Yun Chan.
When Song felt a lot of happiness, is it pity or sukha?
Happiness means what? Worldly happiness or what? When you meditate, that pity is joy, understand? That joy that make you feel very good, that is pity. But when it is sukha, I tell you, it's very blissful one. It's blissful until tinkling sensation. The whole of the mind is so blissful. It's really bliss. You know what is bliss? Really blissful one. Until the energy, that blissfulness is very strong, very, very strong. Until like tingling is happening everywhere, goose pimple, but it's a very, very... there is a lot of happiness and joy, but until it's so blissful, understand? Like too much, too blissful already inside. It really bliss. That word is correct. That word is really correct. Very blissful. Who felt? What happened to him? I don't know. No, that one is joy. That one is joy. When you are in sukha, you cannot talk one. You are bathed with that bliss energy, you know, very blissful one. If I am not wrong, I think Ajahn Brahm got mentioned before. It's better than sexual blissfulness, something. It's more intense than that. So a lot of these things you have to go through, then you will understand. Because during the early days, I went into this very fast. And I experienced it for quite a while. But then later on, this nature knew is still not what it's supposed to be. Because after that, it becomes so still and so, like I told you, remember, like here, the chest here, there's a layer of very strong, intense energy field, no? It's just like a metallic steel locked inside there. It's the stillness energy, very still. Then nothing can go near. Like the whole heart is with this stillness energy. And that is still a conditioned state now. That's how I knew what a conditioned state is. All the mental hindrance, they are all suppressed. Latent tendency, anusaya, cannot come out. Because so still, energy field. That's why later on, after I came out to work, then I realized when I don't meditate so often, when that stillness energy gone, I realized the greed come out again. The emotion come out again. The fear come out again. All this come out again. Means not rooted out. That's why as you meditate, as you go through the cultivation, you will know. But a lot of people are trapped in energy field, in jhana, in concentration, in absorption. And it's very, very common. Almost 90% they get trapped there. Because very few people like to do mindfulness. The mindfulness got nothing to show. Understand? No magic, nothing. It's just awareness. But if you really know how to do mindfulness, you will have a type of stillness which is completely different. It is a free mind that enters stillness. Silent. That one. Money cannot buy. And that is the one that can awaken you. That is the one that can liberate your mind. That is the one that can allow you to connect back to your true mind, your true nature. To understand everything. That's why without mindfulness, without the silent mind, without the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, which is paucity, enlightenment factor, you cannot realize enlightenment. You have to have that. Yeah. That's why daily mindfulness is the only way. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu is very, very true. Yeah. Without this daily mindfulness, you cannot see your sankhara. You cannot understand all the subtle movement behind your mind state. All the aggregate of mind, they can really deceive you, afflict you, and cause a lot of what they call illusion in you. And you can be deceived by it very easily. Without mindfulness, you cannot see. And when you are using energy field, concentration, absorption, all these are conditioned state. When you are young and when you are doing it very often, it's like you are enlightened. Where your mind state is completely like enlightened. All the defilement cannot come near you, cannot disturb you, and you like have a lot of metta, a lot of love, a lot of compassion, and a lot of stillness energy, silent energy. Yeah. But this anusaya or latent tendency or defilement, delusion, they are not rooted out. And because they are not rooted out, when you grow old or later on, when all this First Noble Truth reality hit, then you don't have the energy, concentration or absorption to help you to remain peaceful and calm, suffering will arise. That's why a lot of these people towards the later part of their life, when they lose their ability like Devadatta to maintain their concentration, the jhana, the psychic and all those things, then they get into problem. Because as you grow old, you lack energy, you become very weak. Then as old age sickness and death catches up, you start to have fear. Because in the past, when you have this energy field, you think you're forever young, don't get old, don't get sick. Because the energy field is very powerful, very still, very strong. But like anything, good food or whatever, after you have it for a very long time, what happens? It's no longer what it used to be. You understand? Then after some period of time, you will lose the ability to have the same effect on you. That's why whatever energy field will not liberate your mind, will not help you. Yeah. But if you know how to release it out, then develop the real wisdom. Nothing frees the mind except wisdom. Wisdom is the one that can awaken the mundane mind. The mundane mind, when it awakens, it realizes itself and sees, where it knows this is the one that is playing the trick. This is the one that is creating all the illusion and the delusion. Yeah. Then when the mind realizes itself and understands, then it will go through cessation. Then that form of mind will realize enlightenment, which is Nibbana. Then when it comes out of it, he will understand the form of mind, not him. And he will know how to use this form of mind. He will not be deluded anymore. He will not be deceived anymore. Then that time, that form of mind that understands, that has the wisdom connected to it, you can say that one is enlightened. But that one is not you. It's karmically conditional, a vehicle and a tool for your nature to come to this world. That's why it's anatta, non-self. Nobody inside there. Because these are conditioned arising entity. Karmically conditional, the form and mind. And both the form and mind, the five aggregate, they are impermanent. They lead to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So all this understanding will unfold when you develop the daily mindfulness and awaken to this truth. And you will realize that cessation. Okay? Okay, we go on. He recalled how this is the first jhana one, that one I explained already. So he recalled how when his father was engaged in plowing, means the plowing festival, he sat in the cool shade of the rose apple tree absorbed in concentration of his own breathing, which resulted in the attainment of the first jhana. Yeah. Thereupon the thought, well, this is the path to enlightenment. That's how he come to the understanding. Then he used this first jhana experience. He realized that enlightenment could not be gained with such an utterly exhausted body. Physical fitness was essential for spiritual progress. So he decided to nourish his body sparingly and took some coarse food, both hard and soft. Then the five favorite disciples who were attending to him with great hope, thinking that whatever truth the ascetic Gotama would comprehend, that would he impart to them, felt disappointed at his unexpected change of method and leave him. So they left him and the place too. They went to Isipatana, saying that the ascetic Gotama has become luxurious, has ceased from striving, and had returned to a life of comfort. So that was what happened. The five ascetics that followed him couldn't understand. At a crucial time then, when help was most welcome, his companion deserted him, leaving him alone. He was not discouraged, but their voluntary separation was advantageous to him, though their presence during his struggle was helpful to him. Alone in savant solitude, great men often realize deep truth and resolve intricate problems. So the next session, Dawn of Truth. Regaining his strength with some coarse food and easily developed the first jhana, which he gained during his youth. By degree, he developed the second, third, and fourth jhana as well. By developing the jhana, he gained perfect one-pointedness of the mind. His mind was now like a polished arrow, where everything is reflected in its true perspective. Thus, with thought tranquilized, purified, cleansed, free from lust and impurity, pleasurable, alert, steady, and unshakable, he directed his mind to the knowledge as regard the reminiscence of past birth. Pube, this one is the Pali word, no need to know. He recalled his various lots of former existence as follow. First one life, then two life, then 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, up to 50 life, then 100, 1,000, 100,000, then the dissolution of many world cycle, then the evolution of many world cycles, then both the dissolution and evolution of many world cycle. In that place, he was of such a name, such a family, such a caste, such a dietary, such the pleasure and pain he experienced, such his life end. Departing from there, he came into existence elsewhere. Then such was his name, such his family, such his caste, such his dietary, such his pleasure and pain. He did experience such life's end. Thus departing, he came into existence again. Thus he recalled the mode and detail of his various varied lots in his former births. This indeed was the first knowledge that he realized in the first watch of the night. Dispelling thus the ignorance with regards to the past, he directed his purified mind to the perception of the disappearing and reappearing of beings. With clairvoyance, vision, purified and supernormal, he perceived being disappearing from one state of existence and reappearing in another. He beheld the base and the noble, the beautiful and the ugly, the happy and the miserable, all passing according to their deeds. He knew that this great individual by evil deeds, words and thought, by reviling the noble ones, by being misbelievers, and by conforming themselves to the actions of the misbeliever, after the dissolution of their body and after death, had been born in the sorrowful state. He knew that this good individual, by good deeds, words and thought, by not reviling the noble ones, by being right believers, and by being conforming themselves to the action of the right believers, after the dissolution of their body and after death, had been born in the happy celestial realm. Thus, with clairvoyant supernormal vision, he held the disappearing and the reappearing of beings. He beheld the disappearing and the reappearing of beings. Thus indeed was the second knowledge that he realized in the middle watch of the night. Then dispelling thus the ignorance with regards to the future, he directed his pure mind to the comprehension of the cessation of corruption. Means all the asavaka. Asavaks are defilement. You look at the note 1. Are those which flow right up to the topmost plane of existence with regards to spheres or right up to the Gautrapu state. With respect to mind flux, there are 4 asavaks: sensual desire, becoming, wrong view, and ignorance. These are very powerful defilements. In this particular text, only 3 are mentioned. Here, bhava means the desire to be born in the realm of form and formless realm. Means rupa and arupa bhava. He realized in accordance with fact, this is sorrow. This is the arising of sorrow. This is the cessation of sorrow. This is the path leading to the cessation of sorrow. Likewise, in accordance with fact, he realized, these are the corruptions. These are the arising of the corruption. This, the cessation of the corruption. This, the path leading to the cessation of the corruption or defilement. Thus recognizing, thus perceiving, his mind was delivered from the defilements of sensual craving, from the defilements of craving for existence, and from the defilement of ignorance. Being delivered, he knew, delivered I am, and he realized, rebirth is ended. Fulfill the holy life, done what is to be done. There is no more of this state again. This was the 3rd knowledge that he realized in the last watch of the night. Ignorance was dispelled, and wisdom arose, darkness vanished, and light arose. So this is how he realizes enlightenment. So this is a brief write-up according to the commentaries. You got any question or not? At least we finish chapter 2. Then next Tuesday, maybe we will continue with chapter 3. The Tathagatas are only teacher. That is the Dhammapada verse. So next Tuesday, we will understand more about the Buddha, characteristics of the Buddha. So next chapter is on Buddhahood. You will understand who is the Buddha and all those things. It's all there. So next chapter should be more interesting. Okay, now we can open it up for Q&A. You got any question or anything that you want to maybe share or elaborate on? You just have to raise your hand. Then use the mic. Is there anything that you want to make clear or whatever? Anybody? How much time do we have? Oh, we still got about 20 minutes. That one adjusted already, not yet. Is it 10:10? Oh, haven't adjusted. Oh, then look at that one. That one is past 5 minutes. We should use this 15 to 20 minutes for discussion. So far, we have gone through how he strive on, how he tried all the various means and the various way to meditate. But I find it very funny, you know. I don't believe the Buddha did all those things. Don't you find it funny? He hold his breath until he suffers so much. I don't believe that thing. No, even as a bodhisattva, you won't go and do this type of thing. Understand or not? You will go through all the austere practice, yes, but you will not go and do all this thing. He has perfected his cultivation for so long. He will not do all those things. I mean, this is personal. Based on my nature's understanding, I don't think he will do all those things. It may be written in the text, but I don't think so. It's something that people at that time write, I think. No. This has nothing to do with coming or such. He already almost perfected it. He would have broken all his coming or such already. He know all the vow and all the perfection already. He actually has the ability. That's why you realize what happened. When he finally decided to develop the middle path, when he recalled the plowing festival, straight away, no need teacher, he realized the awakening. You know what he went back and did or not? He actually did paticca samuppada. Do you realize that? That's why he see. At first it's his own birth, you remember? His own birth. Then he realized one birth, he was given what name, born into which household, then what he did. And because of what he did, he experienced all the pleasure and the pain. Then finally he died. Then he take another birth according to how he lived his life. That's how he come to understand the law of karma very clearly. Then later on, when he starts to develop the mindfulness to see, because he has this special ability, the perfection allow him to have the clairvoyance to see the appearing and disappearing of beings. Then he can see all the various type of beings within the 31 plane, how they take birth, how they are born, then how they die, then how they born and how they die. Then he understands perfectly how the dependent origination happened, how the law of karma actually decide all these things. That's why after that, at the third watch, he saw suffering. He saw the cause of arising of suffering. Then he realized how he gone through the cessation. Because there were many lives, he already had the enlightenment before he even became a bodhisattva. Then later on, as a bodhisattva, as he cultivated, he also have all those enlightenment. That's why he knew how those enlightenment come about. That's why he knew the path that will lead to this enlightenment. That's how the Four Noble Truths came to his realization. And from then on, he liberated his mind. That's how he came to know also mindfulness. You need to have mindfulness to have this ability to see all this, to understand all this. How the dependent origination come about. The three right views. First right view is law of karma. That's how he see. Then second right view is the dependent origination. Citta niyama. How your mind function. The 12 link paticca. Then the third right view is dhamma niyama. The Four Noble Truths. That's how he realized it. And it's very clear. I don't think as a bodhisattva, he he will go and do all those funny things. Hold the breath until everything like suffer like anything. Then after hold the breath, stuff I agree. Stuff he will do. But hold the breath, I don't think nobody, even a normal being like me, will not do. Not to say some Buddha to be. But when you talk about not taking food, maybe he will do that one. Because at that time, you cannot blame him, because it was a belief that you have to purify. Purify means no more craving, no, don't eat and all those things. No. So he tried. And he tried until, like he mentioned, those before him and even those in the future, nobody will do to the extent he has done, no, until almost dying. No. Until those non-human tell him, no, if you don't go on food, we will they will shower the essence onto his body and through the pores, let him nourish himself. But he said, no, this is cheating. He said, he don't want. So all this, he may go through. That's why there were statue, you remember? We went to a few monasteries, the statue where they show him doing the self-mortification until he was so thin, like just a skeleton with the skin back. And these are the austere practice, experience that were very popular during the time of the Buddha. Then he knew it's not leading him anywhere. And also his timing, because like I said, he need to wait for 6 years because Sujata make that very powerful aspiration to offer the book rice to him. Then he also had to wait for the timing for the two teachers to pass away, remember? So these are all the causes and conditions that come into play. And because of that, he has to spend 6 years doing things. But he tried what they call type of meditation. That one, I believe, he tried a lot. And also for somebody who already has the parami, it's very unlikely that he will try the no breathing one. No cultivator will go for that type of unnecessary torment and torture. Even this life, when my nature come, actually I recall I didn't learn from anybody. When I started, like I told you, when I went to the university, I don't know how to meditate. After I heard that first Dhamma talk from Chief Reverend K. Sri Ramananda, that night I went back, midnight I sat, then I went into that state. And I thought it was half an hour. All of a sudden already, 4 hours. Then later on, you all know, as usual, Brickfield and all those things, they teach all rising, falling, the Burmese and all those things. But I can't do. When I go there, I don't do. I just do on my own, based on my understanding. And Anapanasati just came by itself. Then I went into absorption, actually. Continuous mindfulness. But I tried the one-pointedness. But I didn't want to focus. Because the energy started to build up. Then I knew it's wrong. But I went into that very strong calmness they call absorption. You absorb into it like no thought, everything, because it's continuous mindfulness. It's so still, then the energy becomes so still. And I was actually trapped there during my years while in the university. So that time I thought, Kautim already, finished already. My metta was very strong at that time. Eh? The heart here, like, nothing can disturb it anymore. And it was so still. The energy and all things. then the metta is obviously. But later on, I come out to work, then I realize when I don't meditate so frequently on the concentration, all this stillness energy starts to slowly, slowly dissipate. Then not so strong. Then I realize it starts to move again. Then got desire, got ambition, want to become what, want to study MBA, want to do law, want to do a lot of things, to enhance your career and all. Then want to be very successful in life, financial freedom and all those things. Then all of a sudden, from inside, deep inside, the message came, you remember the Buddha mentioned the clear glass of water. The sediment are still down there. If you don't stir, appear like clear. But the moment there is condition for it to stir, this sediment come out again. Means not rooted out yet. The understanding. And that was the one very strong in my mind. I knew at that time that is not the way to liberation. Then I waited until 1986, 87 that time. Then I moved, because that time Kuan Yin came with a message, you had to move fast, not much time left. Then after that, you go all out and got it. Then I met my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, Master Xuan Hua. Then I started to very seriously go into the cultivation and Dhamma. Then the moment I met Ajahn Yantra, when he told me about the highest meditation, I reversed the whole cultivation out. I released out the absorption and concentration. Then I went into daily mindfulness. Then he was the one that asked, who wants to promise to develop the daily mindfulness? I straight away, without hesitation, put out my hand. There was another guy, I remember, was over there. Then after that, Ajahn Yantra said, remember, you promised the Buddha, you didn't promise me. Then after that, within 2 weeks, my daily mindfulness came, stabilized everything. Then after that, everything become very easy, very smooth sailing. Then the understanding keep on arising. Keep on arising. So that was what happened. Okay. You still got 5 minutes. Anybody else got any question? Ah, yes. Use the mic. Use the mic. Use the mic. No, push it out. You didn't push it out. Push it out all the way. Push it out all the way. Okay.
Enter Nirodha. Is not breathing anymore, or is it stopped?
No. Nirodha got two type. Nirodha got two type. Nirodha, one is Sahampati. Sahampati is when you go into concentration, then the mind, like, no more thinking, no more thought. It just blackout. 7 days, 7 nights, Nirodha Sahampati, they will go into complete cessation. But that one is not Nibbana. That one is true energy field, no thought. Then you go into that. They call it the Nirodha Sahampati. No use one, because a lot of being, they go in to that state, then after that their consciousness went out. Their consciousness went out, actually. Then this body is like in that state, but it will not die because the energy is still there. Then after that, this consciousness went out. Then if people do something to the body, you got no more body when you come back. Then sometimes they got to ring a bell with very strong vibration to trigger off the hearing consciousness for you to come back. But when you go into Nibbana, cessation of form and mind, through the complete cessation, it's completely different. There is no mind involved. The mind ceases. And when the mind ceases, not only no thought, no, everything ceases, because even the consciousness also no more. Because even the brain here, where you got your mental activity, all those things, all this also cease. Because that consciousness also switch off, and the whole brain is like no more movement. Like a dynamo generator set. When you run the generator set until like you are not dispensing any energy out, then this dynamo or generator set just runs smoothly, you know. Like no sound, like that, very smooth. But the real cessation is all this energy also gone. Even the consciousness also gone. So this brain is like a dynamo, understand? With all the brain cell, the memory, everything. Then you need the consciousness. The consciousness is like a dynamo, because you hold the consciousness here. So this consciousness can retrieve all this memory. Yeah. But when the cessation happened, nibbana happened, this consciousness ceased, no more. So the whole of the dynamo, like no more energy, even the pure energy, all no more, all cease. Nothing at all. That's why I can still recall, where after it come out, before it come out, it can see how this consciousness split back into three and go up there and activate back this brain dynamo. The whole thing come back. Then all the activities start again. But very slow. It depends. You cannot decide how many hours. Because when cessation come, it's the unconditioned. You cannot decide on. But if your life force is still there, you're not supposed to die, then it will come out again. It will come out. When it come out, you cannot decide on. Because it's unconditioned. And when it come, it will only come when there is wisdom. Yes, I remember, you want it to stop, it cannot stop one. It cannot stop one, it cannot cease one. But when you have the wisdom and the understanding at that time, the mind very funny, you know. I remember there is one thing that allowed me to develop that understanding. Well, when I reached that point where the sankhara becomes so clear, then suddenly from deep inside, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then this mind becomes so different, though. It doesn't want to think one, because at that stage, I remember when I came out to work, I tested myself, you know, after that. After 1989, I came out to the private sector and I joined a consultant. And you know, consultant, a lot of work on. When I came out to work, I remember the mind and the nature tell me, you know, if you want to suffer, use your thought. Use your form and mind. Until I cannot read, no. The moment I read, the moment of perception, the moment of contact, the moment of movement or activity or rising of mind, there is suffering. The very fine suffering. You can feel it. And you don't even want to arise the mind. That's why during that time, the mind keep on seizing one. Because that very fine suffering, you can feel it. Then you will come to know one. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. Then that time, even this moment, it die, switch off, no problem. You will not go and think, I haven't done my view, I haven't done it. No such thing. Because it know all these are not real. And during that time, the mind keep on seizing. Keep on seizing. Then every time I lie down and do that type of silent meditation, straight away it go into that cessation very fast. Then after that, I remember that my last teacher also surprised. He knew. I went and visit him in New Zealand. Then I was in his house. But he can feel that I went into that. Where he was lying, let's say this is a couch. I was lying down here meditating. Then he was behind me. He was lying on the floor in his house. Then all of a sudden, I went into that cessation. Then when I came back, which was, I think, at least a few hours later, he knew. He straight away stand up and asked me what happened. Then I smiled to him. I say, I also don't know what happened. completely everything cease. Then after that, I told him all those things. He keep on like very, very happy. You know? I say, no reality. Everything is just creation. From this come out creation. When this one cease, everything cease. Then a lot of things, that time I understood a lot of things. Then I share with him. That's why he liked me so much. And he keep on telling me, he said, actually this whole world, or whole universe, the two of us and now we can talk already. We don't need anybody else. So there's a lot of things that follow. And this one you cannot explain it because it's the unconditioned, beyond words. You cannot use word to describe. It is really the unconditioned. Because really, everything ceases. Even the pure awareness, the true mind, everything ceases. No more. And that is what Nibbana is all about. So when you talk about Nirodha Sahampati, just now, which you asked during Nirodha, there are two types. One is those who do jhana on, who go in into one-pointedness. Then they actually can blank their mind. Because all one-pointedness until no thought. Everything. And actually they like become unconscious now. They become unconscious. But it's very strong energy field inside there. Then one of my teachers also told me, he said when you go into that state, the consciousness can go out. Then you can choose not to come back, he said. The consciousness can go out and take birth in the formless rind or whatever. You don't have to come back. So a lot of these people who do all this, they tell you all the different experiences. But each and every one of you, you will come to know finally what this thing is. You develop the cultivation correctly and appropriately. This cessation thing, which is Nibbana, is something that you can only comprehend after the form and mind goes through it. Otherwise, it's still words or knowledge, the intellect and all those things. You have to go through. If you don't go through, that's why the form and mind that went through will understand. Because the form and mind that is connected to it will go through the whole process. And this form and mind will also know how it come out. Well, when it come out, this form and mind is fully aware. Well, the awareness is connected to it. And it's out of your control. You cannot decide when to come out. Inside, decide. Then when it come out, at the moment, when it come out, the awareness is there. Then from the awareness, how this consciousness split into three and activate back this brain. Then, like this nature can know, no? Oh, that's how creation come about. Before this one come out, this whole thing cannot operate. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is here. Then, actually at that time, when it come out, if you want to cease again, you can cease. You just go into that relaxed state completely like you die. Then you will cease again. But after you have the understanding already, you come out of it already, it's just to show it to you. Show it to you. And also because this nature has done it for a long, long period of cultivation. So that's why when it come, it just show. Then during that period, I remember that period, after that, you don't need to do it anymore. Because that phase is already over. Then you have to come back to develop the understanding to use the new type of mind, that supramundane mind, that new type of mind which is completely different from the mundane mind. I have to learn to use that mind. It took me almost 9 months to get used to that mind. Because when that thing happened, when the mundane mind collapsed, it's like I got no mind, you know. Completely inside there, nothing, no. All the movement, no. Because this supramundane mind is so fine. It's like no mind inside there. Then no mind, how can I know thing? And I said, no. There must be a mind. But this mind got no image, nothing, one. Very fine one inside there. It's like no resistance, one. compared to the mundane mind. The mundane mind is very gross one. The mundane mind is very easy to meditate on. Very easy to develop mindfulness on. Yeah. You better end. Just now I think I heard the alarm. My wife on the alarm. 10:30. Okay, we better end. If you got any other question, you can write it down so that next Tuesday you can bring it up. Okay, let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we shall share them with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.